Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, welcome to the Chakra Way Meditation Podcast. So today I am in conversation with the gorgeous Sarah Meyer Webb. And Sarah has the most beautiful energy. She is a speaker. She's a spiritual activist, I suppose a coach by any other name. She's also written a book called Look Lush, so we can look out for that as well. And I wanted to talk to her because I felt like we had so much in common, and we really did. This conversation kind of veered off into all sorts of different avenues. And when I came to edit it, I was thinking, oh my God, I'm going to have to edit so much of this out. But then listening back, it was just a flow of conversation between two people with, you know, very similar passions. And we just really enjoyed, well, I speak personally, I really enjoyed my time speaking with Sarah. I thought she was gorgeous. That gorgeous goddess energy that some people have, she really embodied that. So yeah, forgive the kind of, we take a kind of a running start. I don't do any formal introduction. I just started recording and we just started talking. So I hope that you enjoy this conversation as much as I did. And of course, I will put links in the show notes to Sarah's website and of course to mine, so you can find out what we both get up to when we're not just chatting to kindred spirits on the internet. So enjoy. Here we go. So do you have like a title that you like to be kind of known as? Because I've got in my notes that I've written, just like literally just got scribbled a few notes down of things, directions. I've written author, speaker, yoga teacher, spiritual activist. Which of those were you today?
I was thinking about that in bed the other day. I said, somebody's got to, because I think it's really common for somebody to be an author, a speaker, and a coach. It's like a super communicator. I was wanting to coin my own term for this person who's just a communicator on many different levels, right? We communicate out to the audiences, and the yoga teacher is really just a check the box thing. I had been practicing for so long and I had always kind of wanted to be a yoga teacher, but then I found out how little money they make back years and years ago. And so I really got that certification because I was already teaching breath work and I really wanted to just have the clout behind my knowledge. And eventually I'll get my Kundalini. I've been really diving deep into Kundalini personally for my personal practice. So yes, author, inspirational speaker, and coach. I like spiritual activists better than coach just because of the imagery. I was never in sports and I ran cross country. That's it. But like, I just see a coach as somebody who's kind of hard on you and And I
said it's a very generic term. There are a lot of coaches out there, and you could be any kind of coach, but you're, yeah, I think that it, the spiritual activist is a nice way of looking at it. It's a nice place to start from, because you know that you're going to come at it from that angle. You're not just going to, you know, give them, I don't know, whatever other tips that a, you know, a generic coach might give. So yeah, I think that's a really beautiful title, spiritual activist. So we'll go with that. Welcome, Sarah Webb.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Spiritual activist. And whereabouts are you based? Where are you in?
I'm in Florida, St. Petersburg, Florida.
Oh, beautiful.
I love it here.
The sun is always shining.
Well, not today. But yeah, it pretty much rains every day during the summer. But my goodness, from October till March, it's gorgeous. While the rest of the country is freezing, it is so beautiful here. And it's worth the heat and the rain, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. But I love it. Sounds gorgeous. So, welcome, Sarah. Thank you for joining me today for Thank the Chakra Way Meditation Podcast. And we are chatting today because, I don't know, we met online and there seemed to be a synergy between us, a kind of alignment in the work that we do. But you are mainly a speaker, you're also an author, and but you're a spiritual activist. And so I want to talk to how you approach that spiritual activism with your clients or with people in your talking, because looking at all, you know, from everything that I've seen of yours, you're all about accessing the power within. And this is something I want to really deep dive into, because we all know we have that inside us, that that nub of us, which is absolutely powerful. But how do you get to that? What's your take on where our power lies and how to access it? Sorry, that's a massive question.
Absolutely. It is a multifaceted question, and it has a multifaceted answer, because with my speaking services, as well as my coaching services, it's a really bespoke experience. I work directly with business owners, and I mean, sometimes I'll do in-office staff training just for stress management for medical companies who have really high-paced environments. And I've spoken at a Sweet 16, you know, I've spoken at a addiction recovery retreat, you know, you name it, I've done it. I've spoken at conferences, obviously just the mundane things, but I love the flexibility, because I mean, everybody deals with stress, and stress is very powerful. Mm. It physiologically can overtake our brains and our bodies. And the whole like definition of stress is feeling like we don't have the resources to handle what's being thrown at us. That's my own take on the dictionary version. I mean, really, it has to do with us just not feeling capable. And we all have resources. I call them power tools inside of ourselves. Sometimes we need somebody to show us with a manual or some sort of an instructional video on how to access that power that we have. But we're all born with the ability to go inside. And I access my own power just by going within. I'm a big questioner. So I was pretty skeptical about meditation when I first started practicing yoga a couple decades ago. Of course, we would do a little meditation at the end. And I remember that first time that I saw what the yoga teacher was talking about. She said, you might see a little purple in your third eye. And I went up to her afterwards and I'm like, oh my gosh, I saw what you're talking about. And that started my quest to find a meditation practice. And it took me over a decade before I found something that I really wanted to do. Because I would, you know, go do online things. Whenever that came about, I would go to yoga studios and I went to Buddhist temples. I mean, you name it. I tried it, and I would come home with some sort of directive on what to do to meditate. And every time I would be like, I'll do it later. I don't feel like doing it. I just made these excuses. But once I found the right power tool and had an instructor who told me how to do it, I felt confident. And I have never stopped meditating 20 minutes twice a day without fail. I mean, I might, when I first gave birth, I probably missed the second one, but for, you know, for that 6 weeks or so, but it's been like magic in my life. And so I approach my speaking from a yogic perspective because meditation can be as simple as breath work.
Yeah.
And we know that our prana is our life force. It's the first thing that comes to us in our human bodies when we're born. And if we don't have it, we are no longer, right? We can survive for weeks without food, a few days without water, but only minutes without our breath. So if we can learn how to belly breathe, which is not what happens physiologically whenever we're under stress, right? We start to chest breathe. So yeah, you know all about that.
No, I think that's such a beautiful, it's such a really clear way of understanding stress. That I love, that just going back to what you said about not being, not feeling able to cope. And I think that that is something that on a low level we all have at some, you know, and it varies, you know, we peaks and troughs. But that other point you make about when you find the solution, and so many people will say, because it is just the truth, whether you like it or not, that meditation is the answer. But finding the right meditation for you, and that's the whole reason why I do these chats, because it's not a one size fits all. You know, some people like to do it one way, and other people, it doesn't ring their bells, they need to find another way. So that's why I like to talk to as many people as possible to find out what all these things are, because suddenly someone's going to be listening to this and they'll listen to one and they'll go, oh, it's quite interesting. But one time somebody will say something and it will spark, it will be that spark that will set them off into wanting to meditate, like wanting to set the alarm 20 minutes early in the morning so that they can do it because they feel the benefit of it. And that's my goal with this podcast, is to give everybody as many tools as possible. Because for me, chakra work gives me all the tools that I need. You know, whenever I'm meditating, I'm always meditating in the chakras. I'm always just there with the colors or the stones or whatever. But it's always that sort of my, that's my basis of where I start my meditation. You know, it's on a daily, you know, it changes on a daily basis. But finding a technique that works for you is really important. And I know that you say you have some little pocket-sized techniques that I would love for you to share a couple with us. What kind of advice and techniques do you use or would advise?
Well, the first pocket would be the front pocket, and you can take out your spectacles. So that's a really beautiful and powerful visualization meditation. We have, I've been doing some work on NLP, and, you know, we have within us the ability to see things, hear things, taste things, touch things by going inside of our minds. So the visualization is a really, really powerful if you're more of a visual person. If you're more of a kinesthetic person, you can imagine the clothing that you're wearing to be like the pocket that you're in. And we can use body awareness techniques. And then interestingly, that other sense that we have inside that you wouldn't really think of is our ability to talk to ourselves. Of course, we have the ability to think, but we have the ability to meta think, to think about our thinking, to talk to ourselves about our inner experience.
Yeah.
And for me, that's where mantra comes in. I am such a language, I'm a wordy, I'm a language buff. I'm constantly listening. I'm visual too. And I love to get into the body based off the yoga. But for me, mantra is what spoke to me. And what's so yummy about the kind of meditation that I am blessed to have found in this lifetime is that this mantra is a thought word sound. It doesn't mean anything in any language. I practice TM or Transcendental Meditation, which is international. Maharishi Mahesh Yogi popularized it back in the 70s. And I'm too analytical to use the visualization. Like imagine your thoughts are floating by on a river or in the clouds. I'm asking myself so many questions about what kind of river it is and where the clouds are and what kind of day it is outside. It's too much for me. Yeah. And then with the kinesthetic, I that sometimes works for me, but again, I start to analyze and I get off in the story. Whereas with the mantra, I don't know if you can remember a time when you had a song stuck in your head.
Oh yeah.
You're still able to think. You've got this song kind of playing on a track and you're still able to think and do normal things. That's kind of where the mantra lives for me. It goes to this place and I'm able, that's what I love about TM is you're able to think. There's no restriction on trying to push the thoughts away, which from what we know about brainwaves is keeping us in beta and not allowing us to slip into alpha if we're actively trying to do something, if we're trying to focus.
Yes.
So that's the few pockets analogies. That's a 20-minute talk in a couple of minutes, you know. I usually love some stories.
No, but it's really interesting, isn't it? Because the brain, understanding energy, it makes my head spin with kind of joy and awe as well as brain ache when I think, you know, because I'm really recently getting into the quantum physics side of yoga and energy and breath and cellular, you know, like bringing everything down, vibration, all of that kind of stuff. So having that understanding of the way your brain works, the actual kind of wiring, if you like, of your brain, is so important. And I think a lot of people are put off meditation where they think there's no way I can sit there thinking of nothing and empty my mind. You know, that only happens when I'm asleep. And that, fair enough, you know, that is, I reckon that's impossible for the majority of people, unless you're sitting on a mountain in Tibet somewhere and have been for a decade, it's probably not available to you. So I love the fact that you've got this mantra going, but your thoughts are just floating and you're not allowing, you're not resisting, you're just allowing the thoughts and things to pass by. And do you find that, is that an accurate description?
Yeah, I mean, it's different every time, but especially when I first started meditating, I found that the thoughts would kind of swirl in this like primordial soup. And initially, when I first started practicing TM, I had some really beautiful and profound experiences where, and it happens sometimes still too, where I just felt like I was almost like held, suspended, weightless. I had another experience where, and it's never happened again, where like I felt like my body, I had to look down because I felt like my body was like as big as the room. I reasoned afterwards that it was like I was feeling my aura. I was feeling the expansiveness that I am. And, you know, it's hard to not chase those kinds of experiences, but that's the beauty of TM is you just allow it, you just let it come and you don't analyze it, you know, and then you just do it for 20 minutes twice a day and you just do it consistently. And the witnessing, which I'm sure you've heard about, you know, in yoga and meditation, just continues to amp up every time. This ability to not be in the movie, but to be watching the movie and to see, I see that emotion coming up for me. I noticed this old familiar feeling. Isn't that interesting? Mm. Instead of being entangled in it and embodying it, we have the choice. It's like that famous quote, who I can't remember who said it. You know, it's that moment that you have between stimulus and response. It gets lengthened. The more time we open up space for meditation, the more time we actually have between that stimulus and response.
So I'm just feeling into that space because that is such a precious, if you can witness, yes, that. And I always go back to, And I think this is a really good analogy that I use quite frequently. And it's from Mickey Singer, you know, Michael Singer.
Who
I love
him.
And in one of his books, he's describing like that very beginning of his spiritual journey where he's just sitting on the sofa with a mate. And he suddenly occurs to him that he's got thoughts, and then there's somebody inside listening to his thoughts. And he's like, if I'm not my thoughts, and I'm that person that's witnessing that those thoughts, who is that inner me? And that was what started him off on his meditation journey and his spiritual journey. And I just think that it's so important to understand that there is this part of you that can witness everything, that creates the space, that allows that reflection, allows you, as you, exactly as you say, not to become entangled. Because, oh my God, how easy is it to become just all up here? You know, it's just a horrible mess of thought and worry and stress and firing stress, you know. And that's when stress comes, because you're not, you know, as you said, you don't feel capable of coping with what's in front of you. But given that space, there's just a breath of space. And that's literally what it is. It's just a breath of space that allows your whole physiology and your mental activity to just become a little bit calmer, so that you can see that actually either it doesn't matter, which is always the best one, or, you know, there is a solution, or you just need more time, or you just need a bit of help, or whatever it is that you need. And I think, yeah, that's such a beautiful way of working. So,
and I think it's so important to embody. I think that if we feel like, and this is what I work with my private clients on, because I am a certified coach, energetic coach. So when we feel like we're in our head, and we're being so cerebral and trying to analyze something, or trying to figure out why a person is acting, you know, why is someone doing this to me, that victim mentality. If we just sit down, and I can go into the physiology of why meditation works, but if we just, and so when somebody's really getting into the story and talking about their mother-in-law or whatever it is, I invite them to hold right there, close their eyes, and just, where is this located in my body? Because that's the chakra. And it may be a couple of chakras that are being affected. And it might be down in their leg, which of course is root, right? It might be inside of their bones, which we know that's always I've read some books and it's either root or sacral. Some people go back and forth on what the bones are actually connected to. But if we can get out of the story and into the body, get out of the head and into the body, and just breathe into that area and allow it and invite it, a lot of times it will untangle itself on its own without us having to really figure it out. But instead, and what I work with specifically, I'm trained with Dr. Sue Mortar, who wrote the Energy Codes. You would love it if you aren't, you know her. Okay. So that's the program that I've trained in. And it's a chakra breath work, you know, engaging Mula Bandha and inhaling from below our feet up through the chakras. And then the heart is the fulcrum, exhaling out the top of the head through the chakras, inhaling from above the head into our heart, and then exhaling through the chakras out the bottom of the feet into the ground. That's one cycle.
Yeah, beautiful.
And so if we can do that, she calls it central channel breathing around an issue that we're having, it can just, it unknots itself. It's amazing. I use central channel. I was at dinner with my wife and some people, some business people, and she could tell I was doing something, because the conversation was just making me uncomfortable in some way. And she said, "What were you doing?" I was like, "I was central channel breathing, because I really wanted to jump out of my body at that time. So instead I embodied." And she's like, "I could tell you were doing something, and it worked." Like, because I was able to not run away and just be with it and be in my body and recognize, okay, this is activating my heart chakra. all right, I'm gonna allow it. I'm gonna breathe into that space.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Now, as a side note, I just want to ask you, this is just kind of personal, I want to ask you if you've heard of a technique called non-personal awareness.
No.
Okay. I want you to look into non-personal awareness. I interviewed, if you go back on my chakra chats, I interviewed a friend of mine called Claire Jackson, and she talks all about it. So that's a shortcut. But it is a beautiful way of doing that shortcut that anybody can do, because it's literally six lines that you so say you're feeling, like in that dinner you were feeling uncomfortable, whatever. Mm-hmm. Let's say that was the word that comes to you. If someone said, how are you feeling, Sarah, you'd go uncomfortable. You'd say, this uncomfortable, this energy of uncomfortable, this pure energy of uncomfortable is not personal. This pure energy of uncomfortable is not personal. This pure energy of uncomfortable is not personal. And I am willing to experience it. That is it. And if you do this, you know, obviously different, better, slower, more mindfully with breath, whatever. But that, just, I want you to just try it. Go and have a look at it and try it out, because this is a technique that's come out of the UK and it's fairly recent and it's fairly small. But personally, I think it's so, so powerful. I mean, really, really powerful. And it's kind of like a magic spell. It's kind of beautiful. Mm. So I wanted to just share that with you. And then that's, we'll get beautiful, back to having that.
It's a shortcut around, I'm reading a book.
Yeah.
His name, I think it might be Michael Brown, but it's called The Presence Process. And it's about, yeah, just being with it, sitting with it a lot, and not trying to overanalyze it. But that sounds like a really great choice. Just, I'm definitely going to check that out.
It's that whole thing of, you know, I'm willing to experience it. It's not personal.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm willing to experience it. And then through you, it passes.
It's like what Michael Singer talks about, like allowing the samskara to just be what it's like, a how-to. Mm-hmm. On allowing this to pass through us. Like, I love all his analogies in that book. I read it twice, but it was just speaking to me, like all the things that I was like, yeah, this is such a palatable way. I bought six of them. Whenever I love a book, I buy six of them just to give out to people who I think might need it if they ever come over, or if it's a client or something like that.
Exactly. So listen, let's get back to our proper conversation, and because what I want to talk to you about now is finding your inner power. So I want to ask you later on a little bit about your story and how you've come to, because that's always interesting. But and if it's relevant, bring it in now. But I want to understand, because we all have strength inside us. We know, kind of little at the back of our mind, in our hearts, in our solar plexus, we know that we have a power. But sometimes we can't find that strength, to leave or to change or to challenge or to stand up for ourselves. So finding that power, I see a smile on your face. This is good. She's got a good answer, everybody. Here we go.
Well, I'll bring it back to the science first, and then yes, I'll delve into my personal story with finding my own power. Mm-hmm. The reason why meditation works, I'll hit you with a little palatable neuroscience and biology.
I love this.
All around us at every single moment, no matter if you're in a busy city or on a mountaintop or even in your home, all around us, there are always billions of bits of data, billions with a B. The human brain is a supercomputer, and it processes, out of those billions of bits, around 11 million bits per second. But we are only conscious of between 40 and 50, not 40 or 50,000. On average, around 45 of those 11 million bits are coming into our consciousness.
Wow.
I did the math. That means that we're conscious of 0.04% of everything that's coming into our brains and our bodies. 99.96% of everything that's available to us is coming into our subconscious. So hold on to that. One more bit of data. Our bodies have 11 million sensory receptors. We have 5 senses. However, 10 million out of the 11 million sensory receptors are dedicated to our sight. So how do you access the 99.96% of information that's already inside of you, that power? You shut off 10 million of your 11 million sensory receptors and you go inside. That's where the power is, literally. This, you don't have to believe in a higher power or a God with a capital G or a Holy Spirit or a God with a lowercase g or the angel. You don't have to believe in anything. That's the data that we all have available to us. But we are so busy with distraction and dissociation and screens and people and I gotta exercise and blah, blah, blah. We all have it inside. But we've got to slow our brain waves down to that subconscious level. And I can go into the science of that very quickly. We operate in beta most of the time. Mm-hmm. High beta is stress. Gamma is above beta, and that's problem solving. You can't be in gamma. That's when your brain really kind of hurts. And high beta is a lot of stress. Right underneath beta is alpha. That's the first stage of sleep. And it's most meditation. Alpha is like when you can really easily be roused. Then below alpha is theta. Theta is deep meditation. And below that is delta. When we go through the stages of sleep, we go into those unconscious areas, but of course we're not conscious of it. And so meditation works because it brings us to these unconscious levels while we're actually awake. So, I started meditating just because I was stressed and I didn't know what to do about it. And I had been seeking, like I said in the beginning, something regular. And I found my formula when I was 5 months pregnant, entering my third trimester of pregnancy. And my now ex-husband was astounded because my hormone levels seemed a lot more balanced because I was a basket case as a pregnant person. I'm not a happy pregnant person. My sister is a birther, not me. But it was like magic. And he learned to meditate because he saw such a big change in me relatively quickly. Amazing. It was the meditation that started me on this inward journey of being able to observe my habits, observe my thoughts. And what I noticed is that after I gave birth and had some postpartum depression, I was drinking more. I was unhappy in my marriage and was suppressing the fact that I'm gay. And I just started to realize that, hey, you know, I have an issue with drinking. I'm drinking too much. And I need to see if I can change my relationship with alcohol. It took me about a year and a half to completely eliminate alcohol from my desires. And I really started blossoming at that point. I realized that I was using alcohol in order to be able to be intimate with men because I was raped 14 years ago, pretty brutally by 8 men. They beat me up. They left me outside. And I am so glad that that trauma occurred because through the power of meditation, self-hypnosis, working with a transpersonal hypnotherapist, I have forgiven every single one of them and healed completely from that trauma. And it does not rule me anymore. I am free. I can be who I am. I can be authentic. It's taken me 4 decades to come out of the closet and to get honest about the trauma with a big T that I've experienced. And you don't have to have experienced trauma with a big T. We have little traumas all the time, especially between the ages of 5 and 10, mm-hmm. or even 0 and 10, before the development of our prefrontal cortex. because our prefrontal cortex is our brain's CEO, our ability to reason. Anything we take in under the age of like between 8 and 10, we take in as fact, mm-hmm. as core beliefs.
Yeah.
So any of those traumas, like mom doesn't want to play with me because she's busy and stressed about something, like that can be a trauma with a little t that really feels real in our own bodies and can continue to perpetuate itself in our adult lives, because energetically we're attracting it to us because our subconscious brains have done a beautiful job of repressing it until a time when we think that we are able to handle it and actually deal with it. So that's my story and how meditation saved my life. I am a better mom because I am free from trauma. I am free from substance. And the experiences that I've had in deep meditation are so much better than any substance I've ever taken.
I bet. Yeah. Oh, of course. Oh my God. But healing that level of trauma is really like a massive deal, you know, and you put that down to your meditative practices and to spiritual practices.
Absolutely.
That is a really encouraging thing to know, that it, because some people would say that you'll never recover from that, or, you know, years and years and years of therapy and still not really dealing with it. But on an energetic level, you let it go and you opened up your, I mean, I'm just looking at you on the, and I'm, well, if you're watching on the, you know, video, you'd be able to see, but Sarah's so beautiful and you obviously speak so eloquently, and you're wearing this beautiful top with blue around, and your throat chakra is obviously just like, just this beautiful shining thing. But to find the forgiveness in your heart chakra for those men who did that to you and to be able to move on is quite, and it's, you know, it's a really exceptional, well, no, maybe I shouldn't say exceptional, because it is available to everybody. It's just whether you go there and look for it and finding your authenticity. This is something that keeps coming up as a theme for me. You know, how sometimes, you know, little things kind of just keep popping up in, you know, in your life, like, and for me at the moment the word is authenticity, like being authentic, and it's something that I'm questioning within myself at the moment, is like how authentic I am being in a, there's a specific aspect of my life that I shan't go into but you know, how authentic am I being, and I need to, and I'm really working on being authentic, and I'm finding it in this particular aspect quite challenging. You know, when I'm talking to you, or like, you know, I'm feeling like utterly myself, but then when I get into that aspect of my life, it's like, oh my God, who are you? What are you doing? What are you saying? So I'm, you know, this is a personal question really, like finding your authenticity. You have done this big style, because you have done a full 180 degrees. You've, you know, you've suppressed your true authentic self for, and you know, a long time. I'm talking about your sexuality, obviously, but I want to understand how you access your authentic self.
In regards to my sexuality specifically?
Well, not specifically, because I want this to be a guide for everybody, but for you, it was with your sexuality. So.
Well, one of the talks that I give is about the closets that we all have to come out of. And it doesn't matter if it's your sexuality or your gender or something as simple as, you know, you refer to this throat chakra, speaking your truth and standing in your authenticity, but also activating the heart chakra and making sure that the heart is bubbling up, because we can speak our truth harshly. We can speak our truth and really, you know, at every moment we're sending out ripples, waves, talk about quantum physics, outside of our sphere. And we have a choice as to how that resonates and whether or not we are actually rooted in our authenticity, which everyone's true authenticity is love. Love is the most powerful. I mean, literally, God is love. And we are little drops of God. We can tap into love, because the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is fear. And I wasn't loving myself, being authentic to myself, because I was afraid of not being accepted by the people who gave me life, who still believe that I can pray the gay away, who still believe that I am making the wrong choices in my lifestyle. And if we just return to love, which is compassion, forgiveness, understanding, that's who we are. Then, I mean, there's real, real magic there. And I am not saying that it's easy. It's simple. And simple is usually hard.
Exactly. That's so true. That finding, you know, having the authenticity to speak your truth, but to feel it inside you as well, is the really important thing. And I feel like, I don't know, I do chakra readings with people, and sometimes there's this kind of, I feel like I was doing one the other day, and I felt like there was this kind of layer of stuff around the true authentic, you know, it was like all I could think of was a mango, you know, and there's all this stuff that's been, you know, it's juicy and all, but it's not the real. And it's like, get rid of that, find that inside, that beautiful stone inside, that's the jewel inside you that is there. And I think everybody knows that they've got that. Everyone can feel that that truth of themselves, that power, because it is such a strong power. And especially for women, I feel like we have this, I'm really big into the goddess power, because the power of the feminine, is just the strongest. I don't know, I feel like it's the most powerful power that there is that feminine goddess power. And to feel that within you, and then to try and express it, to let it just radiate out into your vibration, you know, that comes back to that, the quantum physics part of it is like, and you know, one of the lovely guys that I interviewed, Neo, who his mantra is thoughts become things, you know, and he's very much into manifestation, and it was very beautiful, simple, really digestible kind of way of looking at it. But when you start to believe in that nub of you that's in the middle, that mango stone, that pip in the middle that is the gem of you, just the idea of that can vibrate out into the surrounding energy that is the rest of your life. And I feel that is something that we can all really, and I've noted down from on your Instagram, which is very beautiful, you put a Deepak Chopra quote, which really, I'm gonna use this because I think it's brilliant, and I'm sad that I've never seen it before, but I'm happy because I found it now. And it's, every cell is eavesdropping on your internal dialogue.
It's true. When they first started looking into neuroscience, they thought that it was all about the brain, but every cell of our bodies has neurotransmitters, and we believe what we say. Thoughts are things. I absolutely agree. I'm a big Louise Hay believer.
Oh, I love, do you know what? Louise Hay was my very first book in terms of like her book, and I,
spirituality.
God, 30 years ago. I don't know when it was published, but it was way before, it was early 20s, and I bought
You Can it. Heal Your Life.
Yeah.
Is that the one? Yeah.
Just loved it. Honestly, that was my first step onto the spiritual ladder that I'm still only a few rungs up, but still climbing, you know, just because the more rungs you go, the more you realize it's like climbing a mountain. You get to that peak, oh no, there's another peak, and there's another peak.
Isn't it beautiful that it never ends?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know.
It is exhausting sometimes, but, you know, because it's like, I feel like it's unpeeling an onion that is getting bigger, you know, and it's going to make you cry and it stinks just like peeling an onion and cutting it up. But every layer you're like, oh, okay, I got this. And life is like, oh, really? You think you got this? Let me test you a little bit. Let me show you how much more work you have to do.
There's always that. There's always so much more. And do you use, because obviously the chakras is my big thing, and do you use chakras in your, when you're speaking and in your coaching? Is that a big thing, or is it just something that you, I don't know, I mean, it's everywhere, isn't it? Once you know your chakras, you can't escape them. They're everywhere in your
life. I don't use it. It depends on the audience with the speaking, but every chakra has a gland associated with the endocrine system.
Yeah.
So again, I'm kind of about secularizing spirituality and relating it back to our physiology, because the ancients were onto something. And I mean, they came up with these a long, long time ago, and you know, you could relate it to the meridians.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the whole the endocrine system, the fact that there are the, you know, the actual nerve plexuses coming out of the spine, the fact that, you know, I love the fact that the hips, you know, where you hold your emotions, we hold a lot of emotions in our jaw and obviously in our hips, that's their main seat. And when I'm teaching yoga, and I'm sure you've experienced this, is that, you know, you do something like reclining pigeon, for example, you do a hip stretch, which is a big old stretch. And what's the first thing that people do? Chin goes right up. Have you ever noticed that? When people are straining to work their hips, their jaws just get, they clench their jaws, or they like do. And I looked into this and I found out that when you are a mere embryo, the cells, there is the cell that splits, that becomes, some of it becomes hips and some of it becomes your jaw. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
So, you know, our bodies are such an extraordinary, I feel like 2000 years ago, they understood more about our body than we do now. We've been through such a period of sort of, I mean, yeah, medical intervention is wonderful, and you know, I wouldn't have it not have it, of course, but I feel like we're coming round to an era where the benefits of that medical, you know, mind separate from body kind of life that we've been in probably for the last, I don't know, 100 years or whatever, is now coming to an end, where we're now joining that ancient wisdom and actually understanding the science of it. Because God damn it, why are we so annoying? Why do we need to have proof of everything? Why do we need the scientists at NASA to say it before we believe it? I don't know. You know what I mean? But now that sort of science of spirituality and that vibration, that quantum physics side of healing and meditation.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big Dr. Joe Dispenza fan. I love him. And I actually am going to a week-long advanced retreat.
Yes,
in October. I'm so excited. I just got in a couple days ago. I did the online progressive retreat over the past few months because they weren't doing any in person. And I'd read a couple of his books and thought it was really good, but his meditations are really powerful. And I am super excited.
So you're in person? Oh, wow.
Yeah,
it's a week long. Okay, so when are you going? October, and we need to speak after October once you've been, because I need to know everything, and you'll be reeling for days, weeks, years after that.
Oh, he is amazing. And I just feel like that everything that he talks about is what I was already, somebody told me about him a few years ago, because the stuff I was talking about was very, they're like, is this all from Joe Dispenza? And I'm like, no, but let me read one of his books. And yeah, I love that, breaking the habit of being yourself, because habits. I mean, I've done lots of workshops on habits, and most of our lives are ruled by habits. Mm. That's why quarantine was so hard, because we didn't have all of our cushy little habits that we were so accustomed to. Even changing one thing, like where you live, or, you know, having a roommate, or obviously, you know, even changing one little thing, eliminating something from your diet, or, you know, I have a friend who's now, I think, a few months stopping smoking. It's like, it disrupts your patterns, because yeah. you look to that, even though she's got like more time now, you know, she's not going outside and having to take time away in order to do that. And she has more energy. But yeah, I mean, just one little habit. So if we can get a hold of how much habits have a hold of us. And I love James Clear's book, Atomic Habits. I've always had good habits, but that one is what I use to teach, just because there's like, it's so easy to, if you want to start meditating, you don't have to do it for 20 minutes. Just start the habit yes. of like a minute or 3 minutes or whatever you can handle. And then you can go from there. You can add on.
Yeah. No, it's a modern classic. I mean, I think for me, Atomic Habits is definitely one, but for the Joe Dispenza book, and you're currently sitting on top of Joe Dispenza, just so you know, underneath, because otherwise you get all my chins when I have, so you're sitting on Becoming Supernatural.
I read that one too. It's a really good one.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love all of that. That very clear, making the science of meditation ineffable. Like you cannot doubt it. It is just fact. And, you know, everybody who's listening to this, hopefully, you know, meditates, because this is a meditation podcast. You know, most of my podcasts are meditations, guided meditations, but all with the aim of starting you off on your journey to having your own meditation practice, you know, giving you lots of different ways of meditating so that it can become a habit that is going to change your life. And you are embodiment of that meditation can change your life. It's an extraordinary story, Sarah. It really is.
Yeah, thank you. I feel blessed just to be in a body and to be able to experience. I mean, we're so lucky that we wake up every day. I start every day with gratitude, and that has changed my life. I started that 2.5 years ago, and it has really helped me.
Do you journal your gratitude, or do you just think about it?
Oh, it's a note on my phone, and I have gratitude partners. So I started with my brother. I had done it for a few days back in February of 2020, right before quarantine. And I told my brother what I was doing. I think I sent it to him. I texted it to him. And he said, "This is a great idea." And I said, "Let's make a pact. Let's be gratitude partners. We'll do 5 things. And then I started sending it to other people, and somebody challenged me to 10 things and 10 people. So now it's not exactly, it's probably on average 10 or 12 things, but I've added affirmations to it as well. And I have probably 10 or 12, depending on who's actually, you know, sometimes I'll send it to somebody because they might be on it or it might be relevant. And they'll say, "What is this?" And they say, "I want to do this. Will you?" And so I have some who will come on as my gratitude partner, and then they fall off. But, you know, my brother and his partner, and I have a very good friend and another friend of ours, we're in a little triad, and we all send around our gratitude list. So usually I'm up in the 4s and 5s, but if I do sleep in, a lot of times I wake up and I have other people's lists of gratitude in my inbox, in my text message box. Wow. And it's so beautiful and powerful. And it's such a practice that allows me to continue to be grateful, even on the days when it's hard, when I'm going through something. Then I see that other people have things. I mean, there's so many things to be grateful for. And it's our human biology that is looking for problems, that's scanning to keep us safe.
Yeah, of course.
And so if now we're really not running from jaguars or invading tribes people. It's traffic and their spouse and work and whatever. So if we can look for the good and see that glass as, it doesn't even have to be half full. The glass is refillable.
You know, like, just be grateful for having a glass, shall we? You
know? There we go. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah, no, that is, it is the most powerful, it is the most powerful thing, gratitude. You know, for me, my practice is finding something that I'm grateful for. You know, the fact that the sun has been shining here, you know, it's unusual, but then the joy that that brings, the love that surrounds it, whatever it is you're grateful for me, I always try and find the love and the joy that surrounds that. So it's like a little triad. It starts off with the joy, sorry, with the gratitude. You know, the other day I did a TikTok where I was just walking through, you know, walking my dog, and I was walking through a field, and it was a beautiful day, and I was just like, right, let's do a gratitude practice. So I was just like, let's feel into gratitude. And then I looked around, what am I grateful for? Well, I'm grateful for all this food that's growing right here and how much joy that brings me, because I love my food. It's like, there's always a way of finding whatever it is, even if it's just, I'm grateful that I woke up, I'm grateful that the blooming sun came up, I'm grateful that I've got a phone, I'm grateful that I've got electricity, you know, I'm grateful to be talking to you, gorgeous Sarah. So yeah,
same here. I feel like we're kindred spirits for sure.
Well, listen, we've been on for nearly an hour now, so I'm gonna let you go off and live your beautiful life in Florida. And but please, will you promise me that you'll be in touch after you've spent a week with Dr. Joe Dispenza and spill the tea, please?
I will.
But it was gorgeous to meet you. Thank you so much for joining me today, Sarah.
Such a pleasure. Many blessings to you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.